Good morning. Got your Bible, I hope. So let's turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. John chapter 16, if you regularly attend here. We actually spent three weeks on a few verses in this chapter. So don't worry, I'm not going to rehash the same sermons. We are going to go on just beyond where we were. And similar subject, but at the same time, different material. So John 16, if you have a Bible that has Jesus' words in red, what do you see in this chapter? Yeah, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So of all the people you could listen to today, who has the most important things to say? Wouldn't you say Jesus Christ? I hope you would. So let's go to verse 12, and we'll read down to verse 15. John 16, start in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I'm just going to stop for a minute on that verse. It's not the message, but is there anything that the Lord Jesus Christ did not know? He could have said and told the disciples everything he knew. And what would have happened if he would have done that? I'll tell you what would happen. Right there. And he chose not to tell them everything. Now, here's what's really neat. If you have a Bible this morning, you actually have a whole lot more than what the disciples had. Did you know that? You have all the words of Jesus Christ that God wanted us to have on top of Paul's epistles. And then when you get to Hebrews all the way to Revelation, the disciples did not have all that. So I know that we oftentimes get jealous of the disciples, and they were with Jesus Christ, and that's obviously a great thing. But if you have a Bible, you actually have more truth available to you than the disciples of Jesus Christ have. And this might come up again in the message. We live in the greatest of times ever in that we have a completed Bible, and we have far more available to us when it comes to prophecy than really any people in history, and you're seeing some of it start to unfold. Isn't that neat? So that's not the message, but I thought that was kind of neat, worth saying. So look at verse 13. Howbeit when he... And notice who he is. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He, now let's get a little English grammar here. Who's the he? The Spirit of truth. Yeah, I heard several people. Good. The Spirit of truth, he, verse 14, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So the subject there is the activity of the Spirit of truth. If you were with us for the messages in this chapter previously, there's another name for the Spirit of truth in the same chapter. Do you see it back there in verse 7? Who is it? The Comforter. So, multiple names for the same individual, the same person. And don't be confused. The Comforter, the Spirit of truth, also known as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, is a person. We oftentimes refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. The Holy Spirit is a he, a person, the third member of the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So we are going to deal in spiritual matters today, and we will have some things to say. The Bible has some things to say about the Spirit of truth. So let's ask the Lord to help us with this, because this is something only the Lord can show us this morning. So let's pray together. Lord, we come before you needing help as we study your word. I certainly don't want to say anything that would confuse anybody. And I pray that everything that goes forth this morning is very clear and is exactly what you want. I pray that you would be our teacher this morning as we are relying on you through the Spirit of truth to show us things that only you can. I pray that you'd open eyes today. May all of our hearts be open and receptive to what you have for us. And I pray that you would take this message in the direction that you desire. And most importantly, we pray that you would be glorified and that spiritual work be done this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are living in a time of great misinformation. Do you agree? Maybe the most misinformation than any time in history, or at least that recent history, in the last 100 years or so. President Trump accurately categorized much of what you hear from the media as what kind of news? Yeah, and he said that a lot, and I think that was a good thing that he brought out in when he was the president, and there's so much fake news, and it's told to you as if it's true, but it's not. So, not knowing what is true is dangerous. And when you don't know what is true and what is not true, here's what you and I end up doing. We end up speculating if we're not sure. And speculation can be dangerous because when you speculate, poor decisions can result. So, if you're not following me, let me give you a good example. You know all about this. Can you believe it's been 2 years? We're in March of 2022, and do you know what was happening almost exactly 2 years ago? The beginning of the shutdowns of our world. And if you remember 2 years ago, you were told in March of 2020, you can go back and check me out on this, you were told, we were all told, you don't need to wear a mask. Y'all remember that? You don't need a mask. Okay, I won't wear a mask. Cool. Business as usual. Then, around April, May of 2020, we were told, you actually do need a mask. We told you last month that you didn't need a mask because we wanted to make sure that all the medical professionals had a mask. And we didn't want you to take away masks that they would actually need more than you. Y'all remember this? And the narrative was changed. Okay, just a couple of months ago. Here's what they told us. Those cloth masks that you wore back in 2020 and 2021 are pretty useless. So you can look this up. They didn't say completely useless. There's some evidence that says it helped a little, but not to the extent that you were told. Now, who told you all these things? You want to get really down to it, you mentioned the name. It is science, is what we kept being told. The science says. So you should just look at what's happened in the last 2 years and say, here's what you should conclude. I have to be careful who I listen to and trust. That's what you should conclude. How about some more on this COVID thing? 2 years ago, you remember this? We need more respirators. We were talking about this at the house the other day. More respirators. Can the automobile manufacturers make respirators so we have more respirators? There was a giant campaign to have more respirators. Today, you were told, just recently, those respirators that we made, they actually didn't help that much. In fact, a lot of people who were put on respirators did not recover from COVID. There's a couple of testimonies of people that will tell you they are so thankful that the doctor did not put them on a respirator. In fact, doctors have told patients, I'm not putting you on a respirator because your body needs to learn how to react and breathe on its own post-COVID. So it was actually not such a great thing, but we thought respirators would solve the problem. So if we've learned anything from this pandemic, anything at all, we have learned how most sources of news information cannot be trusted. Hopefully you've learned that. This leads us to wonder what is true and what is not true when we hear news reports. Now, I'm not here this morning to tell you which news sources you can trust, because I don't know. The ones that I have trusted have later on shown that they cannot be trusted. And the ones that originally I would say, there's no way I would listen to them, they've actually said some things that were true. So you kind of go back and forth. I can't tell you which news station or what website to go to where they're always right. So you're thinking, well, what's the point of all that you just said? Here's my point. There is a source of truth, and it's not in the news media. Don't go there looking for it. It's right in front of you. Now, this is not the message, but I'll just go ahead and include this in the message. If you want to know about diseases and the spread of diseases, did you know that the book of Leviticus has a great deal to say about diseases and how they're spread? Go back there and read it. It even talks about when there should be quarantines. And it even talks about the lepers were supposed to be in a colony of their own in quarantine, and they were supposed to cover their upper lip, kind of like what a mask would do, and say unclean, unclean. Now, there's a time and place for that. So it's not like the things that you heard in the world of science over the last 2 years were completely off base, but they were to some degree. And if you want to know on any subject what the truth is, I really believe your Bible is the source. So Sherry and I have had the great privilege of teaching at Christian schools, and the first Christian school that I taught at, I'm so glad God had me there on purpose for 4 years. I'm so glad He did, because I learned about what real Christian education was in those 4 years. I did not attend Christian school growing up. I did not attend Christian college. So God had me go to this school so I would learn what I did not learn in growing up and in college. And what I learned is we are going to teach math, English, science, and history with the Bible as the foundation. Now, you might be thinking, the Bible doesn't say anything about the Revolutionary War or the Civil War. But did you know there are wars in the Bible, that there are great lessons you can learn about history from ancient days, that the same mistakes were made in the days of the Revolutionary, Civil War, World War I, World War II. And if people had consulted the Bible, they would have made the same mistakes. So your Bible is the authority, and it can be trusted on any subject matter. And it grieves me to see people say, well, the Bible is not really accurate when it comes to science because of how far we have advanced scientifically. In the last 2 years, you have seen how much science does not know. So even in the world of science, and we've done some messages over the years on this, the Bible can be trusted. It was just funny when you really start digging into the Bible when it comes to scientific matters, you know what you find out? The Bible is against the grain on a lot of things that are taught in schools today when it comes to science. And you often will be faced with, man, the Bible says this, but I was taught this. So what do? Hopefully you side with the Bible. I teach biology, and recently, actually we just finished up a unit not long ago about creation versus evolution. And I try to get the students in the class to realize your Bible gives a better explanation as to how things began than all the evolutionists combined could ever tell you. It's a most clear, reasonable explanation as to how things started. So you're always faced with, am I going to trust the Bible or am I going to trust another source of information? So why am I starting off here? Well, look at verse 13. And let's look at something that will help us all today. Verse 13, Jesus says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth is come. He will, and I'm going to take 3 points out of verse 13. He will, what's the first thing? Guide you. We'll spend some time on that. He will guide you into all truth. There's the first point we'll look at. Then it says, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. So we'll look at how the Spirit of truth not only guides, but speaks. And then the last thing here, we'll have some fun with this one. It says, and He will show you things to come. So you know what else the Spirit of truth does? He tells you the future. So, if you want to know why things are the way they are today, consult the Bible. And I'll show you here in a moment how the Bible, God's words, and the Spirit of truth, they're like this, folks. They always work hand in hand and always agree. Now, before we get into talking about the truth, let me show you about something about lies. So back in your Bible, just a few pages, John chapter 8. In a world where there is all sorts of misinformation, let's find out why that is the case. You know, the Bible's going to tell you, why is there so much confusion? Well, 1 Corinthians tells us God is not the author of confusion. Why so much confusion? I'll show you the source of confusion. And these are things you probably know, but it's always good to be reminded. These are the words of Jesus in John 8:44. Look what He says here. Ye, and He's talking to the religious crowd here, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now watch this part. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. Watch this part. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He, this is the devil, He is a liar and the father of it. Notice in that verse, the devil is a murderer. He seeks to kill. Notice the devil is also a liar and he's the father of lies. So, according to that verse, I'm going to make a statement here. The spirit behind all misinformation is the devil. That verse tells you he's a liar. So he is the one behind all the misinformation. His goal is to confuse. He wants to confuse so that he can mislead people with lies so that he can carry out his ministry. Did you know Satan has a ministry? You know what he seeks to do? John chapter 10 tells you he seeks to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he does so with lies. That's how he does it. I'll give you an example of this. He seeks to convince people that there is not a place called hell. One of the biggest lies that the devil has told that so many people believe is there's not even a place called hell. Folks, the very place that he lies about is the very place that people who don't find the truth, that's where they go. So you see, he's behind all the misinformation. So if you are sincerely in search of the truth, you can trust 100% of the time. You can trust the words of God found on the pages of the Bible. So go back to John 16. Go back here. And I just want to show you where we're going. First thing here, John 16 says the Spirit of truth in verse 13. The Spirit of truth, it says He will, first thing, guide you into all truth. So we'll just jump right in here. The Spirit of truth guides those who really seek after the truth. So according to that verse, God's desire is to guide you. Now watch this real close here. God's desire is to guide you. And how does He want to guide you? By His Spirit. You want to hear what I'm saying here? God seeks to guide you by His what? His Spirit. Okay. Just as I said, the devil is into misinformation. It would be just like the devil to have things said and printed about something called spirit guides. Anybody ever heard of a spirit guide? Now, don't be confused. The Spirit, capital S, of truth is to guide you. That's from God. And I'll say some things about that in a moment, but let's get the misinformation out of the way here first. There is something called spirit guides, and this is something that a lot of people are into today. So, spirit guides are entities that remain as discarnate spirits to act as guides or protectors to living human beings. So these are things that are not manifested in the flesh, yet they have great influence on the physical world. Now, let's talk physical spiritual here for a moment. Jonathan mentioned in Sunday school this morning how when you're in church, your stomach kind of begins to churn and you get hungry. Is that physically or spiritually hungry? You're physically getting hungry. Isn't that interesting? While you're in church hearing about spiritual food, you get physically hungry. And the physical hunger distracts you from being spiritually hungry. And you think about physical food instead of thinking about the spiritual food that you can take in immediately. You want that physical food that you can't wait to get to, but there's food available, it's just spiritual. Isn't that something how we get distracted? So you're in church this morning, hopefully because you wanted to deal with spiritual matters. This is not the only place you can do that, but shouldn't we focus on spiritual matters more than anything else here? God is a spirit, right? Capital S. He's the Holy Spirit is, the third person of the Godhead. So here are some spirit guides. Now, this is stuff you want to stay away from, but you ought to be aware of. Spirit guides. So it's kind of interesting that the world, even though they're not after biblical Christianity, they are into spiritism. Have you noticed this? So this is what the world's into. Here are some spirit guides that the world is into. You want to avoid these at all costs. They call something that the Bible has archangels. And they say they are leaders in the angelic realm. And that's actually biblical. But they say, again, people into this spiritism, Western spiritualism, they will say that archangels will actually be your guide and help you. And if you call upon them, they're... Now, this is what's a little scary. If you call upon an archangel, their presence can be felt in the room you're in. Now, how many of you have been in a situation where there were some things being said and you got very uncomfortable and sensed that there was some kind of spirit besides the Holy Spirit there? Y'all, some of y'all been in these situations. You've been in church a while. Unfortunately, it shows up in church sometimes. But it could show up anywhere. But there are situations where I find myself in from time to time where I get very uncomfortable because of things being said. Side note, often set to music. And there is something that enters that room that you cannot see, but you can sense there's something that's not right here. You want to get out of there and call on the Lord to help you whenever these things happen. All right? I'll just give you that advice. But this is something that the world that's not biblical Christianity is into. Here's another one. Guardian angels. These are devoted to helping you out in dangerous circumstances. Now, does the Lord have angels? Yeah. In fact, your Bible calls them ministering spirits. But folks, if I ever get caught up in a real difficult circumstance, I'm not calling on an angel to help me. Don't you call on an angel to help you either. There's only one person that can help you, and it's the Lord. And I don't know how He does it. He could use an angel or not. I can't see Him, so I don't know. But the Lord will be the one to help you. So don't worry about calling on some certain angel. You have people that call on, quotation mark, saints for help. There's a friend of mine, some of y'all know him, Tony. And he, before he got saved, he believed that if you lost something, you called on St. Anthony to help you find it. And St. Anthony was the patron saint of lost things. And I said, stop doing that, man. Well, he always helps me find stuff. I said, no, he doesn't. I said, if you found something because you lost it and you asked for help at all, the Lord actually stepped in there and helped you find it. Folks, don't call on things you don't know about. What do you know about? Who do you know about? Hopefully you know the Lord. You know how He works. Call on Him. Stop calling on these spirit entities to help you. You know what you might be inviting in? An evil spirit. An unclean spirit. Okay, there's also, this one's really popular, I know in recent times, real popular, spirit animals. A pet you once had that passed away and is now part of your, quote, spiritual guidance squad. You don't have a spiritual guidance squad. You don't need a spiritual guidance squad. You need one. You need the Lord. Let Him be your guide. Here's another one. Ascended masters. These are people who were once human, but they've passed on. They died. And they are now leaders in the spirit world who would guide you. Buddha's a big one in the spirit realm that people think that, oh, he'll help me. Not trying to be disrespectful, just telling you the truth. Buddha is dead and can't help you. Anybody who died is dead. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just telling you the truth. They're dead and they can't help you. Some folks, now, I'm not trying to be mean. This is biblical. I'll show you. Some folks think that their dead relatives can help them. Your dead relatives can't help you. You say, but they're in heaven. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Call on the Lord, not anybody or anything else. Now, I'm telling you this, you may not know much about this, but this is big in our world today. Here's another one. Helper angels who provide guidance in specific situations like you move into a new place and you need new friends. They'll help you find new friends. Or find a place to live or a place to work. No. Rely on the Lord. Trust Him for these things. Now, here's how spirit guides communicate. And I don't want to spend all the time on this, but I want to say this because this is very prevalent in our world today. Here's how, quote, spirit guides communicate. By giving you signs. Time out. What's your Bible say about signs? The signs are for the Jew. And in this present time we're living in, God's not giving signs to the Jew. He did. And there will be a time in the future where He will again, but that's not the present. Beware of following signs for your spiritual guidance. And I'll tell you what to do instead here in a minute. Here's another one. We were talking about, Jonathan had this message this morning, really good, on the parable of the sower, and there's some numbers in there. So we were having a fun conversation about why those numbers, 30, 60, 90, actually it's 100, 60, 30 is what it says. We were talking about that. We had some discussion about that. But the world is into number sequences. Here's an example. You go to the grocery store. You pay cash. And the change they give you back is $13.13. Well, 13 is an unlucky number. So maybe something is, God's given me a sign to watch out for something that might happen to me today, right? No, it's just a coincidence. Stop it. Stop all that stuff. People go to the casinos and gamble, and they gamble on their lucky number. Buy lottery tickets, their lucky number. And they can, you know what they continually do? They keep continually lose. Not so lucky. Not so lucky at all. Now, here's one you got to watch out for when it comes to spirit guidance. And I'm thinking little s spirit. Songs. Now, I'm sure we all have songs that are stuck in our head forever from the past. And at certain times, those songs will start to play in your head. This is why I warn our teenagers about, be careful what you listen to, because that stuff doesn't just go away. You hear it a handful of times and it's stuck in your head forever. And I have had, in situations where I got to make a big decision, a song come to mind. And what I'm faced with is, do I just do what that song tells me to do? No! I need to take what that song says and then take the Bible and see if there's any correlation. And if it's a worldly song, there's probably not any correlation at all. So be careful about the songs. And then the last one here. People guided by dreams. Now, there was a time in your Bible where God spoke to people through dreams. Joseph had dreams, didn't he? The Pharaoh had dreams. And they needed interpreters. That was the time before the Bible was complete. The canon of Scripture was complete. Folks, your dreams today don't mean anything. You know, here's a source of information. You can take it or leave it, but I know this is me. My dreams often have a lot to do with what I ate the day before and how late I ate it in the day. So don't put any stock in your dreams. Stop doing that. Now, those are all things to watch out for. Stay away from those. You don't need those. Our world's all into these things. We could spend a lot of time on that. You don't need any of those things. So let me tell you that God, and there's only one God, He has a history of guiding you in the way you ought to go. Give you proof on that. Let me give you proof on that. Go to Psalm 78. Keep your finger here. We'll be back. Psalm 78. God wants to guide you. And He can be trusted because He's got a track record of guiding people and guiding them in the right way. So this chapter here is about God's miraculous guidance of the Israelites after they left Egypt. So if you look at verse 52, we'll look at a couple of verses in this chapter. Psalm 78, 52. God has a history, a track record of good guidance. Look at verse 52. But made His own people to go forth like sheep. And what did He do? Guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Hey, the Israelites, if you remember, were in a place they had never been before. They did not know what was ahead. So you know what they were forced to do? They had to trust God that He would guide them in the right path. And you know what He did? He miraculously guided them. We talked about this here not long ago. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And He led them and guided them. Now, here's what you want to take away from this. This might help somebody today. He led them in a way they never knew before. They did not know the terrain. They did not know what was ahead. You know what they were forced to do? God, You know better than we do. We're going to trust You. You ever find yourself in these positions? I'm often there. And this is just me. Maybe you're the same. Maybe not. But if I don't know what's ahead, I get frustrated. I want to know what's coming. Tell me what the next step is if I do this and if I do this so I can decide which one's better. And the Lord continually puts me, and I'm sure it's you too, puts you in situations purposely where you don't know what the outcome will be if you do this or this, right? What is the Christian life? A life of living by faith. So if you find yourself in these situations where this way, and it's not a sinful thing versus a non-sinful thing, it's this is a good thing, this is a good thing, here's what you got to do. You ready? Trust the Lord and only Him for guidance. Trust that He will show you the right way. And He will show you the right way when you're seeking Him and hearing from Him through His Word. So let me show you this in action. Go to Acts, New Testament here. God wants to guide you and He wants to guide you by His Spirit. But watch this one. Watch what God will do from time to time. Acts chapter 8. This is the chapter where the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. Really neat chapter. Go down to verse 30. And I want you to look for something about guidance here in this chapter here, or these verses we're going to read. This is the man, Philip, who is told by the Spirit. In fact, if you look at verse 29, it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." So the Lord told Philip to go talk to this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch who's riding in the chariot. And then we have the conversation recorded here. It's really neat. Look at verse 30. "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" It's a good question, isn't it? Look at verse 31. "And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, you might be thinking, hold on a second. You've been talking about how the Holy Spirit is going to be our guide. God wants to guide us through the Spirit. But here is a man entering the picture, Philip. And he asked Philip for guidance. And watch what happens. I'll answer that in a minute. But look at verse 32. "The place of the what? The Scripture." That's very important. "The place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth." Now, where's this fellow reading from? If you know a little bit about your Bible, that is right from the Old Testament. What book? Isaiah 53. Look at the next verse, verse 33. "In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So that's the Scripture. Look at verse 34. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him" who? "Jesus." So here's a situation where a man is seeking guidance, spiritual guidance. Philip says, "I can help you with that." But this is what's really important. Notice what happens before Philip says anything. What happens? The place of the Scripture is read. And then Philip says, he gives him the proper interpretation of the Scripture, and he says, "Hey, this is a reference to Jesus Christ." And he preaches to him, doesn't tell you all the details, but you figure he preached to this eunuch how Jesus died for his sins. And that how he was raised again. So you understand how God will use a man or a woman to guide, but what is the foundational place, or what's the foundational thing that God uses to guide, folks? It's right there. It is the what? It's the Scriptures. It's the words of God. Now here's what you got to watch out for. There are people who take a Bible and give you interpretations of the Bible that you cannot trust. What do I do? How do I know? Folks, I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but God gave you a brain. You should not be a bobblehead, like Pastor says, and just say, yes, 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 that must be right because the preacher said it. Yes, that must be right. Stop it. Don't do that. You check what the preacher said. You check what any spiritual authority says with your own copy of the Bible. You check it. Don't trust the spiritual authority 100% of the time, because only God's Word can be trusted 100% of the time. Now, let me show you how God does this. Go back to John 16. Well, this will actually take us into our next point here. You said, how do I know somebody's trying to guide me, how do I know they're giving me good spiritual guidance from the Word of God? Let me show you this. So, in John 16, we got that first point about the Spirit being the guide. The Spirit seeks to guide us. Look at what it says right after it says in verse 13, He will guide you into all truth. And we'll get this next point. Look what it says. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Okay, so the Spirit not only guides, but according to what that verse says, the Spirit also speaks. Now here's where you want to make sure you don't miss this part. How do I know it's the Spirit of God speaking and not some other spirit that can't be trusted? Let me show you how this works. Go back to Genesis 1. You want to get the foundation of just about anything in your Bible? Go to Genesis. Look at Genesis 1. And go down there to we'll just read the first three verses. I'll show you how this all fits together. I know you've seen this before if you've been coming to church here, but always worth looking at again. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Watch it. And the Spirit of God did what? The first mention of God's Spirit in your Bible, the Spirit is moving. Watch what happens next. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Look at the first three words of verse 3. And God said, here's what you will find. You will find that the Spirit of God always is in agreement with the words of God. Always, 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 always. So if you ever hear somebody say, well, the Bible says this, but it really says this instead. And by the way, you'll find some of the scholars say this stuff from time to time. You want to make sure that the antenna goes up and you say, wait a minute, that guy is not speaking by the Holy Spirit. That's some other spirit. Because the Spirit of God will always line up perfectly with what the Word of God says. So notice in that verse, I didn't finish up, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the first action in the Bible here, where the Spirit of God is mentioned, is followed up by the Word of God entering. And what's the result, folks? Light. Don't you want to walk in the light? Then you need guidance by the Spirit of God, which will always agree 100% of the time with the words of God. All right? So there's a relationship between spirits and words. You want to get that. We did a message on this not long ago. I'm not going to rehash it, but there's a relationship between spirits and words. So I would say capital S, spirit, it's only one, with the words of God. And I would always also say lowercase spirit with the words of man or all kinds of other sources. So let me show you this. John 6 in your Bible. The Spirit of God speaks. Well, how does He speak? Well, the Spirit of God will always be in agreement with God's Word. John chapter 6. Neat chapter here. Long chapter too. And the Lord says something that will help us understand this whole relationship here in verse 63. John 6, 63. Look what it says. 6:63. Jesus talking here, He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. What's that next thing? The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and they are life. Now here's what I believe as a result of looking at this subject in the Scriptures. I believe that every word that you and I speak, there is some spiritual influence behind it. I really believe that. And the only way to completely trust that what is being said is from God is whatever that person's saying must line up exactly with God's words. So, boy, this we get into all kinds of strange territory here. Because if you've ever been to an athletic event, a sporting event, you want to have spirits. You want to have team spirit, don't you? Isn't that what they say? They try to stir up the team spirit. And how do they know? Now think about this. The world knows about this, folks. How do they know that you have good spirit? You just sit silently in your seat and think about how you want your team to do well. And that's good spirit, right? No!
If you're sitting silently in your seat, you're not having good team spirit, are you? In fact, your team spirit stinks, according to the world. The world would say you have good spirit, team spirit, whenever you do what? You yell and scream for your team, go, 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 right? Isn't that something? The world connects spirit with what? Words. Words spoken, in this case, loud and with a lot of force. Isn't that something? So I think we ought to really consider what we say before we say it, because doesn't matter what you believe about Christians being possessed with devils. I just know that you don't have to be possessed to be heavily influenced by an unclean spirit. And an unclean spirit does not have to be inside of you to influence the things that come out of your mouth. How was your speech this past week? What are some of the things that came out of your mouth this past week? Were they speaking by the Spirit of God? Or, oh, there's no way I would not speak with the influence of another spirit. You better reconsider. Book of James, this is not the message, but the book of James is all about, chapter 3 particularly, is all about the tongue. You know what it says over there? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Well, not very nice, is it? It's true. Your words that come out of your mouth and my mouth, we need to make sure that we know, and oftentimes we should just pause to think, what is it that's influencing me to say what I'm about to say? You know what a Christian's favorite thing to do is? This is a sinful thing, and it's a bad thing, but it's oftentimes a favorite thing. Christians' oftentimes favorite activity is gossip. And you better believe when the words come out of your mouth, there is a spirit that is not of God that is influencing you. Oh, yeah. So every time I come to church and when you come to church, we're bringing some spirit in here. Now, if you're saved, you bring the Holy Spirit every time you bring inside, right? Amen. And that is known, that the Holy Spirit is actually controlling you by the things that come out of your mouth. So I was not going to take the message this direction this morning, but I think we all, and I'm at the top of the list, so I'm right here with you, we all ought to consider what our speech is like, and we ought to think about what we're about to say before it comes out of our mouth, because the spirit that is influencing us to say things may not be the Spirit of God. Watch out on that. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. We could spend some time on that, but we'll move on. 1 Corinthians 2. You say, how do I know the Bible? I want the Bible to be my guide. I want God's Spirit to be my guide. So the Bible's going to obviously be involved here. How do I do that? Well, I just want to, this will kind of reinforce what I just said about spirits and words being related. This will just reveal a little bit more about this. So look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of who? The spirit of man, which is in him. Okay, let me stop right there. Ask you a theological question. Saved or not, do you have the spirit of man in you? What do you think? Don't be afraid to be wrong if it doesn't matter. I'd say yes, absolutely. And if you really look at this passage, you'll see that, yeah. Now, if you're saved, there's another spirit in you that is much more powerful and much better, and that would be the Spirit of God. So then we get into this whole thing about flesh and spirit, and I think a lot of times, and again, read 1 Corinthians 2, read Galatians 5, the flesh is often influenced by the spirit of man that is in us. Not the Holy Spirit. So, are you controlled by the flesh? Or are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? That's something you got to yield to the Spirit constantly, all the time, so that you are under the control of the Spirit. Another message, but let's go on here. Look at verse 11. It says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by the, capital S, Spirit of God. So far, folks, I've seen the Spirit of man and the Spirit of God. And they're both at work. Look, you're going to get another one in verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of, there's a number three, the world, spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Are you noticing there? Spirit of man, spirit of God, spirit of the world. What do you think the spirit of man is attracted to more? The spirit of God or the spirit of the world? See, Satan mimics things that God does. He takes the spirit of the world, the spirit of man, and he says, let's unite them. And we'll unite them with what we say. And the narrative that I started off with today, with words being spoken that are, you're supposed to believe what it's spoken by certain sources, there's a spirit behind those, and I already showed you how, and you've seen this before personally, how those words turned out to be false, not reliable. So you see, Satan actually has a campaign to do something that God's doing with different spirits. And he'll use words that are influenced, coming out of people's mouth, words influenced by spirits besides the Spirit of God. Now, are you with me? I'm getting some funny looks here. Y'all with me on this? I'm just saying, summarized, be careful what you say. Make sure that it's under the control of the Spirit of God. Also, be careful what you hear. Measure what you hear according to the Word of God. Because somebody's trying to trick you and deceive you. It's not the Lord. He's not out to trick. Okay, so look at the rest of the verse here. Look at verse 13, just to prove to you what we were saying here. Which things also we, what's that next word? This whole section here on spirits and the activity of spirits, and now it mentions things which we speak. Now watch what the rest of the verse says. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now hold on. What are the spiritual things mentioned? Look in that context. Do you know the spiritual things mentioned there? You can check it out. It's the words of God. The spiritual things there are the words of God. So you know what God gave us here? In this chapter, He gave you and me a formula for learning the Bible. You know how you learn the Bible? You compare Scripture with Scripture. Old with new. Gospels with Pauline epistles. You just go all day with this stuff. That's how God teaches you, by comparing. So, do you need a guide, a man, to help you understand the Scriptures? Well, I'm just going to tell you a little personal testimony here. Well, first off, the Bible, then I'll give you the personal testimony that matches. God used Philip to show the eunuch the Scriptures and expound the truth. Would you agree? There was a man who was a guide. God has put guides in my path over the years who taught me the Scriptures. So one fellow out of Kansas City by the name of Jeff Adams, my dad, and probably the third one out of the three big ones would be a fellow that we work with named Chip. And those three men, here's what they did, and this is so neat. Those men, all three of them, never told me, just listen to me. Trust what I'm telling you. They never told me that. You know what they did? They gave me the greatest tool they ever could have given me. They gave me the tools of how to study my Bible so that I would not have to rely on them anymore. They guided me and showed me how I could go to the Scriptures alone with the Spirit of God teaching me, and I could get something for myself on my own with God helping me, without them. That's how God seeks to do this, folks. Let me ask you a question here, and this is not the message, but just a side note question here. Do you have the tools that you need to study and understand your Bible? Do you know how to study your Bible? A lot of you in this room would say yes. But you know what we do oftentimes? We don't use the tools. The Bible sits on the shelf. We never take out our spiritual toolbox. And therefore, we are in the darkness because we're not being guided by God's Spirit and God's words. Take out your toolbox this week, folks. If you've got the spiritual toolbox, man, use it. It's fun to use. And it's really fun when God shows you things and then you're able to put those things into action throughout your day, throughout your week. All right? Go back to John 16. Let's get this last point here. John 16. The Spirit guides, the Spirit speaks. I had a whole lot more on the Spirit speaks here. I'll just give you a reference here. 1 Timothy 4. It says over there, the Spirit, capital S. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, Guess what times I think we're probably in right now? The latter times. And then it says this, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's another type of spirit. There's all kinds of different spirits in your Bible you want to avoid. A seducing spirit is one to run as far away from as possible, trying to draw you in to go down a path that will take you down a dangerous path, away from God. We go more on the Spirit speaking, but when God's Spirit speaks, He will always be in perfect alignment with God's Word. So, I'll just give you an example, a bad example of this here. There's a fellow, a pastor that I grew up listening to. He's actually an evangelist when I was the first school I taught at in Tennessee. This guy, man, can preach. One of the best preachers I ever heard in my life. Young guy at the time. Then he got his own church, and this is where things went sour. He decided to divorce his wife. And he did not have scriptural grounds to divorce his wife. And right after he divorced his wife, in the process of divorcing his wife, he said something to the effect of, God is leading me to get a divorce. And lo and behold, not long, I mean it was months after he divorced his wife, here he is married to the church secretary. Now he would say the Spirit of God led him to do that. I would say he's a big fat liar. Here's why. Here's why. There are scriptural grounds for divorce. There are. But they are specific. And this fella is, oh, the Lord led me. And be careful when you hear people continually say that and they do not have Bible to back it up. You should have Bible to back up. You're saying the Lord led you to do this, this, or the other thing. Make sure you got Bible for that, or else it could very well be another spirit. Okay, last thing here, John 16. John 16. Let's get this last point here. This is a fun one. And maybe we'll have to do some more on another message sometime on this one. We'll just hit this one real quick. Verse 13, it says, at the end of the verse, of the last little phrase, and He, speaking of the Spirit of truth, He will show you things to come. Did you know you can tell the future? And you can do it without a horoscope. And I throw that in there because there is a spirit, little s, behind the horoscope. And if you don't know what a horoscope is, good. Don't search it out. You don't need it. So God has told you the future. Now, God is not giving you specifics about what's going to happen to you tomorrow. But I can tell you this. Many of you in here, maybe all of you, could say the same thing that I'm about to say. I know I'm 100% certain. I'm 100% certain where I will be in 1,000 years from today. What? That far in the future? Yes. Here's how I know. I'm saved, and if you're saved, you can say the same thing. God's timeline, there's at least 1,000 and a few more years, tribulation, 7 years, whatever, however long that is, all kinds of crazy things going on with that. We'll say 7. There's at least 1,007 years. Right? So if I die, which I will probably die before 1,007 years, again, this is pending the rapture doesn't happen before I die. If I die, I will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you can say the same. It's got nothing to do with you or me being good. It's got nothing to do with that at all. It's got to do with you trusting Jesus Christ, your Savior, knowing that you need Him because you're a sinner. All right? So in that time, the next 1,000 years, there's going to be a tribulation. There's going to be a return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And if you're saved, you will be in a glorified body in that kingdom down here. Now, 1,000 years in the future, can you see it? You've got it. You've got it. Now, I don't know specifics. I don't know all the ins and outs here, but I know for certain some things about my future. Do you? How do you know that? The Spirit of God has revealed to you the future through His words. You know what else I know? Timothy said this. You go to the Revelation, you find this. Things are going to get worse before they get better. Americans don't like hearing that. I don't like hearing that. I'm obviously an American. I don't like hearing that. Things are going to get worse before they get better. There's a tribulation period to come that is the worst time ever. Then comes the Lord Jesus Christ to set up His kingdom. There's a rough time coming before the best time of all is coming. I just told you the future. That's not me. That's God's Word and God's Spirit. Let's close here. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. We'll finish up here today. Revelation 19. This is the Apostle John who wrote this. And here he actually sees... we'll just read it. Show you what he says here. What happens to him and what he says. John hears a great voice out of heaven in verse 1. And then this voice continues there. Look at verse 5. Voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants." You've been doing that, by the way? Been praising God? You got an opportunity to do that every day you're alive. Goes on down there, and then go down to verse 10. Actually, go to verse 9. "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Now, you find out verse 10 here. John does something. It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not." So this is not Jesus, because Jesus would not refuse the worship. This is it actually tells you, "I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Now watch the end of this. This matches our message this morning. "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." See, God wants you to know some specific things about the future. You will not know them if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do know the Lord Jesus Christ, God put His Spirit in you so that you can read the Scriptures and know some things that are to come. You know what I've noticed all over the... watch this next week. It's all over the place. And here is proof that your Bible tells you about things to come. All over. I saw it on the front of a truck last night. I saw these letters. Big letters on the front of a truck. Big truck. B-E-A-S-T. Beast. Have you heard in the world of athletics, which I work in, if somebody's really talented, they will say, "That guy is a beast." And this word, I don't remember when I was a kid, this word being used near as much as it is today. Beast this, beast that. And it's a good thing. It characterizes a good thing. Folks, your Bible, in fact, right here in the book of Revelation, you can go to chapter 13, you'll find the beast is a man who is the devil incarnate, and you want to be aware of him, and he's no good at all. I'll just leave it at that. There's a spirit at work now to prepare the way for the beast. Folks, I'll tell you another thing. I was telling Sherry about this, but I'll just give you the short version. Something else that you're seeing that I don't remember seeing as much when I was a kid. A real emphasis in our world, not only on beasts, but on dragons. They're everywhere. And there's good dragons nowadays. Dragons used to be bad. Now they're good. Folks, you read your Bible. Revelation, there's so much that it says about worship of the beast and worship of the dragon. Folks, the spirit of Antichrist is at work right now to set the stage for the beast and the dragon during the tribulation. So when I see all this stuff about the beast and the dragon, I'm like, we're getting a little closer. This is fun. Yeah, this is fun. My Bible is shedding light on all the things happening in the world. Amen? You know what your Bible says over in Matthew 24? It says there shall be wars and rumors of wars. What's happening right now? See, your Bible gives you insight. Oh, in here, right here. So you don't have to be afraid. Saved people should not be fearful. Amen? Saved people should be confident. Saved people should know the truth and live by the truth and not be swayed by all the nonsense and misinformation. So I ask you three questions here as we close. Question number one, do you know the truth? And I'm actually asking you, do you know a person? There's only one person in your Bible who is the truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a truth, He's the truth. He is truth in a body, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Second thing, if you know Him, what is your relationship with the truth of God's Word? I've already showed you here, and we could do some more on this. Maybe we'll do another message on the connection between God's words and God's Spirit. Don't you dare say, I'm led by God's Spirit, if you haven't been in your Bible in a month. You're probably not being led by God's Spirit. Your Bible will give you leadership of God's Spirit when you take it in. It'll give you the leadership that you need from the Spirit of God as you spend time in God's Word. Last question I ask you this morning. Since your relationship with the truth of God's Word reveals whether or not the Spirit of God is controlling you, what spirit has been controlling you in the last, let's just say, 7 days? Was it the Spirit of God or was it some other spirits? It can be measured heavily by the things that have come out of your mouth, by what you say. Because we've already seen quite the relationship between what we say, words, and the work of spirits. Some things to consider. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we pray that you would do work among us. Help all of us to do the work that you want us to with what we heard. And not just put it aside, but deal with it honestly, truthfully. I know all of us probably could think of some things that we said this past week that were certainly not from your Spirit. And I pray that we would be mindful of those and confess them and get them right. And move forward today and throughout this week saying and being under the control of your Holy Spirit. And saying the words that your Holy Spirit would have us say. Help us to be people of the truth, people of your Word. And not just say that we are, but really be that and live it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.